Let 'Em Breathe Space by Lester Del Rey. Chapter 1. 5 months out from Earth, we were halfway to Saturn and three-quarters of the way to murder. At least, I was. I was sick of the feuding, the worries, and the pettiness of the other 19 aboard. My stomach heaved at the bad food, the eternal smell of people, and the constant sound of nagging and complaints. For 10 lead pennies, I'd have gotten out into space and tried walking back to Earth. Sometimes I thought about doing it without the pennies. But I knew I wasn't that tough, in spite of what I looked. I'd been built to play fullback, and my questionable brunette beauty had been roughed up by the explosion years before as thoroughly as dogfighting on all the planets could have done. But sometimes I figured all that meant was there was more of me to hurt, and that I'd had more experience screaming when the anodyne ran out. Anyhow, whole wheat pancakes made with sourdough for the 9th morning running was too damned much. I felt my stomach heave over again, took one whiff of the imitation maple syrup, and shoved the mess back fast while I got up faster. It was a mistake. Phil Riggs, our scrawny half-pint meteorologist, grinned nastily and reached for the plate. "'Smatter, Paul? Don't you like your breakfast? It's good for you. Whole wheat contains bran, the staff of life. Man, after that diet of bleached paste—' There's one guy like that in every bunch. The cook was mad at us for griping about his coffee, so our group of scientists on this cockeyed Saturn expedition were getting whole wheat flour as punishment, while Captain Muller probably sat in his cabin chuckling about it. In our agreement, there was a clause that we could go over Muller's head on such things with a unanimous petition, but Riggs had spiked that. The idiot liked bran in his flour, even for pancakes. Or else he was putting on a good act for the fun of watching the rest of us suffer. "You can take your damned whole wheat and stuff it," I started. Then I shrugged and dropped it. There were enough feuds going on aboard the cranky old Wahoo. "Seen Jenny this morning, Phil?" He studied me insolently. "She told Doc Napier she had some stuff growing in hydroponics she wanted to look at. You're wasting your time on that, babe boy." "Thanks for nothing," I muttered at him and got out before I really decided on murder. Jenny Sanderson was our expedition biologist, a natural golden blonde, just chin high on me and cute enough to earn her way through a PhD doing modeling. She had a laugh that would melt a brass statue and which she used too much on Doc Napier, on our chief, and even on grumpy old Captain Muller. But sometimes she used it on me, when she wanted something. And I never did have much use for a girl who was the strong, independent type where there was a man to do the dirty work. So that was okay. I suppose it was natural with only 2 women among 18 men for month after month, but right then I probably liked Doc Napier less than the captain, even. I pulled myself away from the corridor to hydroponics, started for observation, and then went on into the cubbyhole they gave me for a cabin. On the Wahoo, all a man could do was sleep or sit around and think about murder. Well, I had nobody to blame but myself. I'd asked for the job when I first heard Dr. Pietro had collected funds and priorities for a trip to study Saturn's rings at close hand. And because I'd done some technical work for him on the moon, he figured he might as well take me as any other good all-around mechanic and technician. He hadn't asked me, though. That had been my own stupid idea. Paul Tremaine, self-cure expert. I'd picked up a nice phobia against space when the superliner Lori Ilou cracked up with 400 passengers on my first watch as second engineer. I'd gotten free and into a suit, but after they rescued me, it had taken 2 years on the moon before I could get up nerve for the shuttle back to Earth. And after 8 years home, I should have let well enough alone. If I'd known anything about Pietro's expedition, I'd have wrapped myself in my phobia and loved it. But I didn't know then that he'd done well with priorities and only fair with funds. The best he could afford was the rental of the old Earth-Mars-Venus Triangle freighter.